If you have a Bible with you, please turn to Matthew chapter 7 as we continue this last home stretch of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. That's the word of God. Let's pray. Almighty Father, speak to us today, I pray. Lord, we are weak flesh. We are jars of clay. Imperfect vessels, God, yet for your glory, we ask for your presence and to speak and move us today. Lord, if there be any error on my part, God, I pray that you would stop the ears of these people. They would not hear, but they would hear what you would have to say. Challenge us, Lord. Move us. Make us the people that you desire us to be. For we need and want you, Lord. So we pray and come to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. This section is, in some ways, was pretty straightforward to me this week. But for some reason, in the back of my mind, in the bottom of my heart, there was a little bit of a catch in me. I didn't know what it was. You know, in a sermon, typically, you know, I very simply, at its core, I say, okay, I look at what's here and I say, what does it say? What does it mean? And so what? That's pretty much what I try to do week by week. What does it say? What does it mean? And so what? Why does this matter? What were you speaking to these people then, and how does that matter for us now? Last week I spoke of the fallen condition focus. Lord, what is in my fallenness? If your word in 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scriptures God breathed and is useful, Lord, what is the use today? What do you want for us to hear today? When I look at what does it say, that's pretty easy. Ask and you will be given, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened. We're speaking of prayer and straightforward, and I like that. I like it when things are clear because, frankly, our lives as fallen beings is often not clear. Things are muddy. Things can be difficult. And Christians are not immune. That seems to be the problem. People try to come to faith and they think that it's a clear sailing, a clean slate. Everything's good and reality hits. And in fact, sometimes I think, you know, the demands of this life that I've chosen, well, this life that God has chosen, it's hard. You know, this sermon that we've been going through, the Sermon on the Mount, is ridiculously hard. And I don't know if you feel that way sometimes, but I do. There's some days, and I go, how can I keep on doing this? This is difficult. The temptations to do whatever, to gossip, to say bad words, to just indulge my flesh in whatever way that is common to me can be overwhelming. And I know I'm not alone. And then even on my good days, when I'm feeling confident, I think of the Great Commission. Go and tell the world. I look around us and I go, how can we do this? Just in Fenimore, let alone Wisconsin or USA or the world. Some of you may be wondering as you seek God's will, what does God want for your life? You're looking ahead in school or even in your careers and going, what is my purpose? What am I supposed to do? And sometimes, if we're honest, we have doubts. And that can be scary. You know, so either we push it aside, say, nope, I'm just not even going to acknowledge that I might wonder, is God being faithful here, or does this really say this? We may have challenges to our faith, and doubt creeps in, and we feel guilty about it. And so it eats away, and our faith weakens. We give up. I was remembering this week a time when I was in seminary before I was married. And, I've probably spoken before, but seminary was a great struggle for me. The academic part was fine. You know, I'm reasonably intelligent. I can read fast. I can take these things in. But I really struggled. And I remember there was one point where I was completely overwhelmed. I mean completely. And I was walking across campus, and I had things to do, and all these pressures of things. And I went, and I got in my car, and I started to drive. And I got on Interstate 35. I started heading north, and next thing you know, I was in Duluth. So I got a hotel. And then the next day, I went skiing. I was supposed to be in school. I had things to do. But I didn't know what to do. I was completely overwhelmed. I felt hopeless. I felt helpless. I doubted my calling. I doubted everything. And I'm not supposed to do that, right? I'm in seminary, for goodness sakes. I want to be in the ministry. How can I doubt? Lord, if I'm doubting, then what's this all about? I was paralyzed. And maybe you've been there. Maybe. There's a frustration that we can feel when we see the demands of God and we desire to live for Him and we don't match up. And for so many people, so many, we look at God's word and we have an assurance of salvation. We can say, yes, I am saved. I believe that it's true. I believe Jesus died for me. But we don't have assurance of life. Assurance of life here, now, today, that God is with us right here, right now, and will carry us through. Not just in my head, but in my heart. Now, the conventional wisdom in Christianity, and most of you probably have grown up with it, is the mores, right? Pray more. Read the Bible more. Go to church more. Serve more. And yet, these feelings can persist. So, the question I have today then is, where is this assurance that Christ speaks of? Where is this power that He speaks of, that you see in other people's lives? Where is it? How do I get it? And then we come here. And this is very appropriate, what Jesus speaks to right here, in this place, in this sermon. If you want to know the answer to the question, because, you know, when you look at Scripture, I always go, okay, what's the question? Here's the answer. What's the question? It's like Jeopardy, all right? Here's the answer. Figure out what the question is. How do we move forward when we're very frustrated or feel we cannot go on? Well, again, we just look at what it says. The answer in a word is ask. Ask. You know, it's interesting here. It says, ask and we opened, seek and you'll find, knock and we open. He kind of hammers it to us. He's just in teaching you. Ask, seek, knock. Ask, seek, knock. There's a persistence there. There's a pushing forward. In fact, if you want to get, you know, biblically geeky, the words here are imperatives. And they're present tense, so there's kind of a force to them. Just to do it now. Go now. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. You know, and if we think about it, that's kind of a common thread throughout Scripture. There's many places. Jesus, remember the story of the persistent widow, right? The just asking the judge for a case, and finally says, oh, fine. You've been bugging me so much, I will answer your plea. Keep going. Be persistent. Now, it's interesting, if you look in your Bible, turn to Luke 18. And I found this very interesting. Luke 18, there is the parable of the persistent widow. And he told them a parable, the fact that they ought to always pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man, and there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterwards he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I'll give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And then listen, and the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Keep going. But in that, there's a promise that's made here. So if the first idea in what it says is ask persistently, continually, keep going, ask, seek, knock. There seems to be a building, you know, ask and then, okay, well, I'm going to seek it and then okay, I'll knock, you know, just keep on pounding, whatever it takes. But there's a promise here. And promises are things we can hang on to. Sometimes just by our fingernails, it seems like. But standing on the promises of Christ, right? Standing. We do that. And here we have a promise. And I can tell you by God's word that these are rock solid. And it says, everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. That is a promise. Amen. From God. You can believe it. You can know that it's true. Everyone who asks and seeks and knocks, he will answer. Yes. But then, for me, there's that question then. Okay, that's what it says. What does it mean? What does it mean? Because, does it mean that I can just ask God wherever I want? Hey God, I'm hungry. I want some steak. Cha-ching, there you go. I want a brand new car. I want a scooter. I want a new suit. I want a new watch. I want, and that, you know, cause, hey, it says, there's the promise. Pastor, you told me, if I ask, I'll receive. If I seek, I'll find it. And if I knock, I'll open it. I want an Escalade. No. And again, you don't have to stretch very far to understand this is true. Now, people will say this. I have heard people quote this in a prosperity, God will give you riches context. And they use this. And you know what? They just can't see in front of their nose. It does not mean that God will give us everything you want. He's not a cosmic Santa Claus. He's not a vending machine. He's not an overindulgent grandfather who, you know, says, don't tell mom, here, you can have this. Eat all the candy you want to, then I'll send you home. Ha! That's not what God does. No. And the key, I think there's two things to retell us very clearly that this is not what it's talking about. One is context. Context. Don't read a Bible verse, right? Context. And it's so important. And here, again, how could you read this Sermon on the Mount? How could you start in chapter 5 and read what we've gone through so far and to come to the conclusion that God is going to just give you everything you want? It's ridiculous. You know, Jesus already spoke at length about prayer back in chapter 6, right? And out of that, he told us, don't be like a hypocrites, praying so others can see you. Don't use empty phrases and lots of words like the Gentiles think you'll be heard by that. But you pray to your Father who's in secret, he will hear you. And he gave us a model. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Context means everything here. And so as Jesus clearly shows us in context, when he talks about asking, seeking, knocking, he's talking about his kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Or later on in verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be given to you. So when that everyone, and the promises are, there's some definitions that have to be clearly vetted and understood. Everyone is his people. You know, yeah, God blesses us all. I mean, every person in Fenimore, every person in Wisconsin, in the world is blessed by God right now because they're alive, because they can breathe, because they've had a meal or, you know, whatever it is. But in this context, he's talking about his kingdom, his people, and his glory, and his righteousness. Jesus' teaching on prayer is not for selfish ends, but it's always for the glory of God. According to kingdom concerns, always for him, every prayer is to that end. When we pray for the sick, Lord, for your glory and for your kingdom. When we pray for the hungry, for those who need shelter, for the homeless or the people in war-torn places or whatever it is. It's for God's glory and for His kingdom. When I pray for some money because I got bills coming up, give us this day our daily bread, that was there for God's kingdom and for God's glory. That is where the promise comes. It's not to give me a new car or a bigger or better house or whatever it is. But the primary concern in prayer is for His glory and kingdom. And there's even a broader context if you look at it. You step back a little bit further in this sermon. Having told His disciples of how difficult this following me is. And He hasn't held anything back, right? I mean, He's told us very straightforward. Blessed are the peacemakers and the humble. And then He told us about righteousness and murder and adultery and all these things. And then plus He told us to pray and how to fast and then don't judge and trust Him in your finances and all these things. He's not letting us be deceived by a rosy picture here, okay? This is hard. Take up your cross and follow me. You're still taking up a cross. And so, having told us how difficult it's going to be, He now exhorts us to pray. The Sermon on the Mount lays down the righteousness, the sincerity, humility, the purity and love expected of a Jesus follower, and now assures us that such gifts are ours if sought through prayer. Okay, that's the reason. That's the asking and the seeking and the knocking. The second thing we can see here that shows us that this asking and seeking and knocking is this promise of everyone and you will have these things is not simply a vending machine from heaven is what we see in the rest of the verses we read today. In verses 9 through 11, you have I'll use my big word of the day, a a fortiori argument. We've talked about this before. Maybe not remember. That's fine. How much more argument? How much more? A fortiori. How much more? And that's what he tells us here, verses 9 through 11. He acknowledges our fallen nature. Look what it says. Or which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? Okay, so he's just appealing to logic here. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So we see, again, he acknowledges that we're evil. Well, fallen, okay? Evil's, harsh. No, I'm not evil. But, well, okay. Yeah, maybe not. But we're fallen. Our flesh is weak. We are fallen people. And yet, even us, or people around us who don't acknowledge God at all, they know how to give good things to their kids, right? I mean, that makes sense. If the most vile pagan out there, if their little girl comes up and says, Daddy, can I have a piece of bread? Yeah, here, have a rock. Oh, hey, Daddy, can you give me some food? Oh, sure, here's a rattlesnake for you, honey. Right? I mean, it makes no sense. And that's what we're talking about here. So he acknowledges our fallen nature, and yet they know how to do good things. And then here it is. How much more? If God is infinitely put an attribute more than us, how much more will God, our good Father, give good gifts to us? Right? I mean, think about that. Think about what that means. Think. Romans 8. You do not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ. And he's not when we think of father, we have to understand that we're not talking about this a spoiling, indulgent father. We're not talking about someone who's just going to give us everything we want. I mean, I don't give my children everything they want, right? No, I don't. Now, sometimes it's because I can't, frankly, but most of the time, I have to think about what is best as a father, as fathers, as we do, we think about how do we want our children to grow up? If I just give them everything they want to, just buy them everything they want, what kind of men, what kind of women will they be when they leave my house? Do we want to send out spoiled, indulgent brats? Kids, we're not being mean. We really aren't. A good father is not going to spoil their children. They will love them and give them what's important and provide for them and all these things. But a good father knows how to give good things to their children. And they know, he knows what those good things are. And sometimes it's not the candy. Sometimes it's the broccoli, the asparagus, the Brussels sprouts. A good father knows what is best. And we can trust our good father. The question I have to ask here then, what are good things here? Right? Our Heavenly Father will give good things to those who ask. Hey, now isn't a brand new house a good thing? Isn't a brand new car a good thing? Isn't expensive clothes a good thing? Isn't $1 million in the bank a good thing? Maybe not. Turn to Luke chapter 11 for a little clarity, I think. Here we have the parallel, Luke's parallel to this Sermon on the Mount. At least part of it. And, let's see, if you look at verse 10, we'll start there. For everyone who asks, receives, and the one who seeks, finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Okay, so here we go. We can hear it. There it is. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? All right, so there we go. Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? That'd be mean. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? What are good gifts? Spiritual gifts. God's Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, faith, love, and joy, hope, righteousness, purity, forgiveness. These are the good things that we're talking about here. And that is what we are seeking, right? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The kingdom of God is not about cars and clothes. And he talked about that. He says, look at the birds of the air and the trees and the fields. And why worry about these things? Seek my kingdom. You'll be taken care of. Seek the greater things. Spiritual gifts. And that is the context of the Sermon on the Mount. That's what he's been talking about this whole time. Seek what is greater, not what is less. Sometimes it's easy looking at God's word and kind of looking at the generalities, right? Those universal things that somebody can be saying and, you know, you can easily apply to others. What is God speaking to us? Trinity Evangelical Free Church. I wondered this morning. God kind of put me into a spot of rewriting and thinking anew about how I was going to present this to you all. And I thought, okay, well, are we speaking to us, to me, to the Kings, to the Knowles, to the Swims, to the Francines, to the Russells? What is God speaking to us? Are you discouraged ever? Do you come here some Sundays and look and say, yep, still pretty small. Do you wonder if we should keep going? Do you think, why are we doing this? Do you think, what's God doing? Probably should. It's okay. Do you doubt? I do. But then I read this. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. For everyone who asks will receive. And if you seek, you will find. If you knock, it will be opened. I have to hang on to that. I believe that. I believe that for us. John Stott, as he comments on this section of the sermon, he gave three interesting kind of applications to it. He says, this kind of prayer presupposes some things. That's my challenge for you today, okay? To have some good, solid presuppositions as we come into this prayer, okay? It presupposes some knowledge. It's not all about the head, but you think about what, if I'm going to pray for God's will, for these good things, what is it that I'm praying for? And where we get that is from this, as we read it and meditate upon it. So I, again, encourage you, not in a legalistic way, but get this into you as much as you can. And if it's a verse a day, God bless, so be it. But get it in there. And think about it and try to see God's will and look at it and say? What does it mean? Why does it matter? What is God's will? Have it soak into you as much as you can, in any way you can. It presupposes faith. This kind of prayer presupposes an amount of faith. And guess what? The good news is it doesn't take much. The prayer of faith is not about how much I have, but how great God is. So we can humbly have confidence in God's ability to answer and provide and to cause His will to be done. It's about Him. And so there's faith there as I pray it. And thirdly, and this is the one interesting to me, I'm fascinated with, this kind of prayer presupposes a desire. It presupposes a desire. And I ask you today, is your desire, your kingdom come, your will be done? Is your desire to have more of Him? Is your desire for God's Spirit to be in you more and more and more? Is your desire to shed the things that are not of Him more and more and more, to have more and more of Him, to take off the old self, to put on the new more and more and more? Is that your desire? And if it's not, do you want it to be? Because if that's where you are, that's good. It is. That's a great place to be. God loves that. I want to, even though sometimes I struggle just in the daily grind. And it's true for all of us. Whether you're 9 or 90, knowledge, faith, and desire. That is my prayer for us today. Make it your prayer today. Seek it with all your heart. And stand on this promise for us, Trinity Evangelical Free Church, Fenimore, Wisconsin. If we ask, we will receive. If we seek, we are going to find. And if we knock, God is going to answer that door. But we need to do it persistently, every day, and believe and be confident that He who began a good work will continue it. Heavenly Father, I am so grateful to You. Lord, make our prayers be this kind of prayer. Lord, help us to ask and seek and knock and do it persistently, to do it faithfully in the full knowledge of seeking Your will. And Lord, if there be any wicked way in us, Lord, forgive us and spark that desire, Lord. Lord, I want to, but sometimes it's not there. Lord, I'm asking for a good gift, Lord. I'm asking God for Your Spirit more and more, please. And for all of us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you this week. Thank you.